cannot solve problems with the same level of consciousness that created them. What they want by keeping us in mind is to ensure that that goes on in perpetuity. We have politicians who create problems. Then another party comes in, same level of consciousness, they create more problems. And so it goes on and so it goes on. We have to move to another level of awareness and then everything changes. So consciousness, becoming conscious, breaking out of mind, is fundamental. It's not just trying to kind of, you know, spiritually. Everything comes from that. Because this world is a manifestation of our state of awareness. Consciousness, we have created and played our part in creating this collective experience. We can change that because we are the world, and therefore we can change the world. This idea of getting to control us, I have no power, to keep us in the idea that we're kind of subordinate to the world, that we are kind of at the mercy of the world. No, we're decoding the world into our experience. We're the governors, if only we realize it, and it is a spell. It's a spell that's been cast upon us, so that we see reality in a certain way, the system control system. Again, remove the cause of the problem and start to see reality in a different way. Instead of identifying with the experience, we identify with the infinity that we are. Everything changes. Instead of identifying with the lens of the telescope, we identify and connect with consciously in awareness that which is looking and experiencing and observing through the telescope, i.e. who we really are. We just point to awareness, but within the totality, and our point of awareness has been pulled into the five senses, and in doing so has been pulled out of an awareness of the true nature of self, the true power of self, the true infinite possibility and potential of self. When we remove that cause of the problem, bang, everything changes. It's so difficult to comprehend it, because this keeps saying, no, that's not what we're arguing. Yeah, well, that's not this mess, mate, okay? You know, you've got a car to play, you've got to get out the front seat with the driver in front of it, okay? Right? Car, that's all you are. Still, I'm not. So we've got to get that out of the way before we can start to feel the true magnitude of who we are. Because this will be keep telling them this nonsense, because it can't compute it. But we can. We can break out of this control system by breaking out of the vibrational realm of the control system. You know, these reptilian entities and their hybrid vehicles and all the rest of it, they're very, very low vibrational, because if they weren't, they wouldn't be doing what they are. They wouldn't desire what they do. They wouldn't feel the need to control as they do. And by the way, the reason they need to control and seek to control is a simple thing. They are frightened beings. They are terrified. They are incredibly insecure on a level that we couldn't even begin to comprehend within our realm of massive insecurity. Because when you are secure in who you are, consciousness, however you perceive yourself, when you're secure, you don't want to control it. You don't want to control it. You're at peace. You're at peace with going with the flow of life. That is what it is. Yeah. When you're insecure, you don't like states of flux. They frighten you. Anything that's not callable, what's going to happen? You don't care. It's what it is. That's exactly what it is. What's going to happen? So these guys are so desperate for control, they're not interested in influencing events, they want control. Symbolically, they cannot watch a football match not knowing who's going to win. They're too insecure. They need to control the outcome and know the outcome before the game starts. So if you are controlling one team, you're going to influence the game. You're not going to know what the result is before the game starts. If you want to do that, you've got to control both teams, and then you're going to know the score before the kickoff. That's where they get their security from. So right across everything, they want to control so there's no status flux. And in their own writings, they talk about the one thing that could bring attached to knowing the result before it starts. They're not attached to knowing the sequence of events that's going to happen, because they don't know what they're going to do next, never mind anybody else. Because this is talking to them. Intuition. Oh, yeah, no, I'm not here. Yeah, that's what I like. And of course, someone is insecure to the state that these entities are. That's why this is a recurring theme right the way through the ancient writings to the present day. They are terrified of exposure. That's why they might be uncovered or whatever. So they're frightened people of matters because they can't call them. They're not able to predict them, and crucially, they're not, because of their own deep, desperate insecurity, they're not able to understand them. They don't understand people who are in that state of flow, because they're not, that's why they do what they do and they are what they are. And, as I say, they say in their own writings, Mavericks are the one danger to our plan. And so, they are people who don't conform to mind, or conscious people who flow and are secure enough to go where the flow takes them without having to know the outcome, without being attached to it. They're terrified of that because it's out of their realm of understanding, their realm of control. So, humanity was here once, and this is where we're going back. Oh my goodness, me. When we look at the world here now, and it's becoming in the next few years, we're going to go, you're joking, it's impossible. No, this is where we're going. And it's going to happen dramatically quickly when it happens in the end. And again, removing the cause of the problem. This is a energetic catastrophe, massive imbalance, created this control system which allowed this to happen. And fragmented human personalities. It fragmented, energetically fragmented this reality, which is why we have fragmented personalities so often. And we control through the reptilian brain, through fear, insecurity, not their kind of insecurity, though, but still massive insecurity, anxiety, and it controls our perception. So, one another thing to reverse the cause, remove the cause of the problem, you know. Instead of when you hands in a boiling water, take the gas off. No, take your hand out. Remove the cause of the problem. You hands in the boiling water, take it out. It's all correct. And that is to override the domination of the reptilian brain. Now, there's times like I say when it's useful. You know, someone will pull your car. You know, I won't think it through. Back the anger off. But what the reptilian brain does is react. Like I said, it's a good thing sometimes. Most of the time it's not. And so if we can start, and I look at this myself, if we can start not reacting to situations of any kind, I don't care if it's in a personal relationship, or if it's something on the news, or something that's happening in the world, or all the rest, we stop reacting, and we, this is the key thing, or my problem, we're going to need this the next few years, calmness. Stay calm. Once you kind of start to panic, all you get is this does panic, reptilian brain. It does panic, it is panic. And once you start panicking, it overrides the thinking process. And that's why when we panic, we don't think straight. And we have this, oh my god, I didn't say that, did I? Like I talked about earlier. So we stay calm when situations happen. And think them through. Feel them through, even more important. But don't react. Because when you stop that reaction, you're disconnected from the influence of the reptilian brain and the reptilian hive mind system, which is basically what it is. You're disconnecting from it. It's ceasing to influence you because you're not reacting. And that's what it wants. You know, it's not a problem thinking through, doing a bit of research, ponder on it, react solution. It's problem, reaction solution. Problem, reaction solution. Reptilian brain manipulation system. We can break all this by thinking it through calmly and not instantly reacting to everything. Believe. You know, we are all possibility, and once you start believing in things, then you're starting to become less than all possibility, because you're starting to isolate your sense of possibility, your sense of self into a belief. Even a belief in the stuff that I'm talking about, it's information, okay? It's like see it as it is and make a decision on what we feel, but believing in it, so it becomes another belief system, it's just another catch. All these things, we're all possibility. You know, there's all possibility at the church to worry about its genetic bloody inheritance and its political party. No, I know that. So again, we get blinded by this desire to believe, and the belief becomes a neuron network, a firing system which puts us in these boxes. So, another thing to reverse the course of the problem, we lie to ourselves, we do. We lie to ourselves because we don't want to face what is, and cognitive dissonance is just an extreme version of it. And then, you know, if we take a deep breath and look at things, and absolutely honestly, without any preconceived idea or all the rest of it, just say, this is how it is. Rather than, I'm going to lie to myself and persuade myself it's not what it is, so that I feel better in the moment. Because the accumulation of that as well is where we are. Again, it isn't what it is. I find myself saying this all the time now. You know, the number of times in my life, is, I'm not too crossed over the mountain, I'm just looking for all this stuff, and I'm still going through it. I found myself before, something would happen, and it's, oh, damn, oh, no, I mean, that would happen, yeah, but it didn't, man, all right? It didn't. That would happen, that would happen, but it did happen, so that happened, okay? And said that, like I used to years ago, I now just go, oh, it is what it is. Oh, this guy's got this too. It is what it is, okay? So, can I change it now? Nobody needs me, okay, so I have to accept what it is. And I'll change it when I can and when it's possible. Isn't that a wonderful phrase, you know? See, God give me the strength to change what I can and accept what I can't, what's to that effect, and the wisdom to know the difference. And again, the reptilian brain, oh, I'm ugly, oh no, God, oh God, oh God. All this stuff we go through, it is what it is. The reptilian brain doesn't do it, is what it is. Reptilian brain is, and if we accept it and deal with it calmly, everything changes. We're not reacting beings anymore. We're taking our power back. We're taking power over our perception back all the time that we're doing this. And every bit of perception we take back, we're taking control from the control system back to us. Again, it is what it is. But we can find loads of ways to deny it. Because we would like it not to be true, but it is, so let's face it. I can't see the truth because the hands are over my eyes. There's a lot of people who do that, don't they? They say things like, change the subject, don't want to talk about it. I can't see anything. Again, it's this honesty. Because once we externalize, we try to avoid what is. Once we externalize responsibility to something else or some other force, what we're doing is saying, here's my power, there you go. That's where it is. I have no power, because I have no power over what's happening. Once we take responsibility, face what it is, deal with it, then we're taking power back all the time. And we move it from mind to consciousness, from little me says, I've got no power over my life. Consciousness says, if I take responsibility, and I'll face it, I'll deal with it, and I'll change it. And it's the difference between being conscious and being in the box. People talk about the box, and it's true. It's a vibrational box. And the whole control system is about putting us in that box. But I want to make this point. You know, this control system ain't as powerful as it seems to be. This reptilian group, whatever you want to call them, ain't as powerful as they appear to be. If they were, they'd take over, they can't. If they were that powerful, they would be terrified of people knowing of their existence. They wouldn't be full of insecurity. What they are, and because they wish to control and have control over, because of their insecurity, they want to control everything, they are being able to control humanity, not because they're all powerful, but by putting humanity in a smaller box of awareness than they're in. So they have an intellectual mind appreciation of how reality works, and so so they can use that knowledge to manipulate it and put it in a smaller box than they're in. But they're in a pudding box as well. They can't access consciousness with their level of being. Their vibration is really too dense to connect with higher levels of consciousness. And the fear they have is that humanity does have the ability to become conscious. Because we're not in a state, the vast majority anyway, we're not in a state of needing to have power over in the way that they do, and to control in the way that they do. We are more, we have far greater potential to become conscious when we choose the nature of their state of density. As we do so, they no longer have any power over us whatsoever. And I use this analogy a lot, I think it's appropriate. The natural state of a ball is floating on the top of a tank of water. If you want to put it in an unnatural state, you have to push it down to the bottom of the water, and you have to bloody hold it there. Because its natural state is here. You let go, bang, gone. Back in its natural state. And so what they had to do to put us in that smaller box than they're in, and therefore they have a control through knowledge and awareness, is to put us symbolically on the bottom of the tank, and they have to bloody hold us there. I mean, just think what it says about human consciousness that they, to control us, have to do all that they've done. And do it incessantly, because once they stop, boom, top of the water, natural state conscious, so they have to destabilize us physically, destabilize us mentally, emotionally, they have to program us through words, program us through other different means of hypnotic states, they have to destabilize us through food and our ability to receive, transmit information, they have to do all of that to keep us down. That's how extraordinary we are that they have to do that. And this terrifies them. One or two, the awakening is going on now, terrifies them. And I tell you this, it is no accident whatsoever that this control system is at its peak now when we are awakening. Timeline. They're working the timeline. They knew this was coming. They knew this awakening was coming. And therefore, they've taken this time to throw everything at us. Microchips, control systems, destabilizing of food, genetically modified food, all this stuff I've been talking about is being thrown at us now. The timeline of this reality, and they can see what was coming, and they're trying to put the lid on the awakening that's going to bring that control system down. No action whatsoever. Escaping the box. See? Well, for me, I'm going to talk about myself. When I moved, well, first of all, I started following my intuition. When this did. So what's an interesting thing? When you follow your intuition first, because it's got a completely different perception of reality, you start saying and doing things that are opposed to mainstream society. I've been known to do that. And suddenly people are really feeling you and laughing at you and saying you're dangerous and all that stuff. And this is going, see what happens when you don't listen to me? You know, I'm scolding. See what happens when you don't listen to me? Back into mind. But if you keep going, if you stop and stop like me, you keep going, and you let them laugh, it doesn't matter. Well, what happens eventually is it all works out. And it all works out, not despite all this stuff you didn't like very much, but because of it. Because without the massive relief, why would your life be cleaned out of fear of what other people think and more than what things would have happened? And what happens then is the mind observes this. It observes this simultaneously, it works out. And the mind and consciousness, the mind and intuition, better way of putting it, thought and intuition, come together. And this war between the two stop. And you start feeling intuitively and thinking the same. I can honestly say this, not because I'm really special, but I've worked at it, and I've not really serious experience in leading in this direction. But there has not been a point for years where what I have intuitively felt and what this has thought have been at odds. Not once. Because this goes, yeah, this was here, yeah, okay, because it seems so often how this has eventually worked out. So this thing basically shut the bugger up, this has. And let me just wish you luck. It's a wonderful feeling. Doesn't mean you don't have challenges, oh yes, but it's a wonderful feeling. And the shift, the other thing apart from that, what I mean to wish you, the shift was when I consciously decided and really consciously became it. I stopped being David Icke, born less than 1952, and I started being consciousness, having the experience of David Icke, born in 1952 in Leicester. That was the key moment. That was a few years ago. And it's a process that's ongoing, but that was the point. What happens is there's this incredible shift in energy. Because what you've done, we're all kind of forms of perception, we're all the great oneness, but we're never forms of perception within the oneness at any one point. The point of perception, although that's where the point of perception was. And then suddenly, the point of perception moved. I'm conscious of an experience as that person. And that point of perception moving, point of observation, created an incredible energy shift, and everything changed. My life changed. My life, about two and a half years ago. And three or four years ago, something like that. And it was this incredible shift. And so much anxiety fell from me. Things started to sink because up to that point, I was on the verge of this not happening. It's never going to happen, but I was very, very close. It was a lot of pressure to bring down what I was doing. And suddenly everything started to flow. Everything started to change and become a flow and a movement and not a battle anymore because I blew that point of observation. You know, these people in the New Age and gurus and stuff, and they make it sound so complicated. Oh, you have to meditate, and you have to do this, and you have to do that, and then you see the cave from there, and then it's down. No, it ain't complicated, please. It's not. If it was, I'd have to do it. I'm a simple bloke, I am. So, what I want to do is move your point of observation of self. You move your self-identity, and everything shifts. No kind of complicated things necessary. Everything changes from that. And so many people set themselves up as gurus and people and teachers or stuff. They make things sound complex because that holds the power. Because people listening to them think, oh, they've got that, they know, and I don't, and so they've got the power and they're all that. No! It's so simple. Move self-identity. I am consciousness having experience. I am not the experience. Everything changes. Everything changes. Our experience, the vehicle of our experience, the eyes, you can see yourself in your eyes, that's a really window on self, it really is, it's why I see those situations technique. But it's to look in the mirror and see your experience, and through the eyes of your life, whatever, to see who you really are, the infinite consciousness. And then, again, removing the cause of the problem. Fear not only connects it into the reptilian brain control system, it brings our energy density to a lower level of vibration. You know when you feel intense and fearful and frustrated, what do you think? You say, oh, I'm feeling so heavy today. Oh, this life's such a trudge. Why? Because the density, you brought the density by these things. And of course, in terms of the vibrational blocks bringing you out into the smaller blocks of the control system, then bringing you into greater density brings you into fear. And again, when you remove yourself from fear, you remove yourself from the way fear acts. We act, we access fear through the reptilian reaction system. And so, we ask ourselves, what is there to fear? Well, you doubt me, I'm taking up 40 lessons, 152, I can give you a very long list. But I'm conscious of having an experience I cannot find a list, and again. Because, what's the worst that can happen? The worst thing can happen is I put my telescope down and become all the things that that near-death experience have talked about. Shit, I'm terrified. I'm terrified. What is there to fear? Nothing. I mean, this is a great one. Look at this. You know, talk about where the real power is and the way the control system works and the way we can remove it. Look at this. You see all these sheep, right? And there's the authority figure, the shepherd. And what are the sheep doing? Blah, 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 the shepherd. And if anyone just sort of gets out of line, bro, that's what people do. Fear, 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 get in there. Fear and false authority, and fear and not false authority. That's what's going to keep the sheep in line. Now, look how it's too many shepherds and hundreds of sheep. What power would the authority figures have if those sheep went, nothing is going there, I want to go over here, let me express my uniqueness, I will go to Germany, I want to go here, what would have this tree? But the sheep goes right, oh, chill out. The sheep are going off in all directions. Even if like 20 of them went off in all directions and didn't follow the authority figure, these are in the shite big time. The authority figures, they've got no power. They've only got power if we acquiesce to it. And that's what we've done. That's why sheeple is a very good term for the mass of humanity, but we don't have to be. It's a choice. We're all possibility. What are we doing? Following in. Being one of the herd to express consciousness, all the possibilities to express and celebrate our uniqueness, and not only that, celebrate the uniqueness of everyone else. We have this idea, you know, we lack a sheep, and we say, oh, get a sheep, and put it in the rear of the sheep, and all that stuff. We lack sheep, humanity. But these sheep need a sheepdog and a shepherd to keep them in line. We keep ourselves in line. Because the control system sets out the norms of what's right, wrong, moral and immoral, good and bad, possible and impossible, safe and insane. And then the people, the sheeple, then police the norms. And when you start to step out of the norms, it's not Bill Clinton or Barack Obama or Henry Kissinger that jump on you, is it? It's your bloody family that wants to work. It's the other sheep, keeping the other sheep in line. And if we fall for fear of what others think of us, then this mentality becomes our mentality, because although we must go there, we're frightened with the reaction of others, which is why letting go of the fear of what other people think and being who we are and not what they say we should be is vital to becoming who we are within this physical form, what we call the physical form. But that's what Einstein said. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. And that's what we do, and that's why we go round and round in this bloody circle, this bloody time loop, is because we don't break out of that cycle by being different, by celebrating uniqueness in ourselves and in others, and we break the program, we break the control system by doing that. There was a wonderful film called The Dead Card Society with Robin Williams, where but he was a teacher that was trying to get the pupils of his private school, snooty little school, to do exactly that, to look at life differently. And he stand on the desk in the classroom and he said, I stand on my desk to remind myself that we must constantly look at things in a different way. You see, the world looks very different up here. If you don't believe me, come and see for yourselves. And again, even in that small example, it's point of perception, point of observation. You know, if I look at this mirror like that, I have no power. I am all powerful. And you become at one with all that is, and at that point, you realize just what a fraction of reality, a fraction of possibility and potential we have been experiencing in this life, in this place, in this reality. Clear your mind. Oh my God, clutter. I'll tell you what happened to me. At this time, when I had this, started to have this shift. Funny enough, the inner shift becomes an external shift, because the external is just a reflection of the inner. Change the inner, the outer changes. That's why when we change the collective inner, the outer must change. That's the control system comes down with other things that are coming as well. But what happened was, I started becoming kind of obsessed with, for this like 3 weeks, of throwing everything out that I didn't absolutely need. And I was going up and down. I only live in a small flat, so I want to, like, I love it, in the ROI in England. But amazing, the closet was bloody thicker. I might need that. What am I going to need? What am I? All that stuff. And so what I was kind of obsessed with this, the shift was taking place that I talked about. We get rid of everything. I was going down the recycling tip 2 or 3 times a week for 3 weeks. All this stuff was going. I got right down to nothing. Virtually nothing. It's only what I needed. And then when I got through that, there's nothing else to throw out, really. I'm quite clean, but I'm not obsessed with it, but for about another 2 or 3 weeks, I was cleaning everything. I'm washing, cleaning everything, all crazy. And then I realized what was going on. I was externalizing what was going on in here, because I was cleaning myself out. I was getting rid of all the clutter and shite and irrelevant memories and all the stuff we hold on to. Oh, if they'd have done that in 1963, and all that stuff. I started to get rid of things that didn't matter within myself, externalized. Because I have this the deathbed, pondering on the deathbed about what matters. You've got 2 minutes to live, well, not live, but put your little telescope down, right? Okay. And you sit there, a line there or whatever, and you look back at your life, and you look at all the things that wound you up, reaction, 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 and all the things that got you frustrated, tense, and angry, and sad and guilty and all this shite. And then 10 minutes to live, you say, from this perspective, what of that matters now? Bugger all. The only thing that matters is how much we loved and how much we were loved. What we gave, what people kindly allowed us to receive, all those things matters. But all the stuff that winds us up and makes us unhappy and frustrated and therefore vibrationally dead, none of it matters. And the trick is to take that perception of what matters and to bring it here and see that it doesn't matter now. You know, like I say, you know, people get hold on to these statements, it was that woman in 1962, she hadn't done that. She's having a great time. She's having a great time. You are not having a great time. Why? Because you're connected to something that doesn't matter. It just happened. It was. It is what it was. It is what it is. And you start to clean yourself out, and you clean yourself with the clutter. I tell you, the mind clutter. Me, God, my mind never stopped. I used to go to bed. You know, I'll turn another. After I started this process, of course, all that mind chatter. I don't have mind chatter like I did before. My mind's got a lot pretty less to say because I'm not giving it any credence. It doesn't matter. It is what it is. Silence. The other thing is combing the mirror. This is the other thing. I call it combing the mirror. This is one of the great ways they kind of numbers are attack. There is no outlet. Just appears to me. It's a projection, it's a decoding you've been talking about. It's happening in here. So this is where this must change, because this is where this exists. So what they want us to do is to try to change things out here. I call it combing the mirror. This is just a reflection that it's like a screen. And so when you comb in your hair, you don't comb the mirror, do you? Your air ain't going to change. You change, you comb your hair, and the mirror reflects your new hairstyle. But what people do is comb the mirror, because they're looking to change this out there, and there is no out there, that's why they never change it. And so when people, for instance, meet violence with violence, they try and change things out there. The way to change this is to change it here, which change the projection experience that we create. It's all going on in here. By the time it hits the screen, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. Things have changed. We have to change it the way we encode it, so that before it hits the screen, through the encoding system, why I'm changing perception, I'm changing self, I'm changing awareness, I'm changing point of observation, we're changing the encoding system, the way we're decoding reality. So we're changing it at the point where it can be changed before it hits the screen, becomes our experience of reality. I've been walking around here now, I've not changed that. But if I had changed my choice back there, in the encoding system, I might have walked over there instead. But by the time I walked over there, I wasn't changing. Because I was already walking over there. And this is what we're doing all the time. We're trying to change this. We need to change this. And then this must change, because that comes from here. Like I say, it's on the screen. And so you get, for instance, people who... Say you're in a movie theatre, and you don't like the movie. What do? You stand on the screen shouting in the movie, "Change! Change! Change!" Ain't gonna change. It's already hit the screen, darling. You gotta go back to the projector, change the reel, and that will change. Here. They have no problem with us shouting at the mirror, covering the mirror, shouting at the screen. Nothing's gonna change, they know that. It's amazing, you know, when they've done experiments of like reaction on machines in laboratories, where they say, okay, when you hear a sound, press the button. And what they found, all the things on the bloody head and stuff, probe and what have you, they found that the electrical signals to press the button happen before the sound is taking place, and before they move to press the button. The bits building up to do it before the sounds happen. Because the conscious mind experiences reality, if you like, at this point of observation, we're observing the screen. Reality is created at deeper levels in the decoding system, as it goes from the vibrational to the electrical to the decoding to the holographic. When it hits the holographic, it's a done deal. And so it's in ourselves that we need to change. Some experiments have suggested that something like 98% of human response comes from the subconscious mind. I don't think it could well be 100%, with the conscious mind being the experiencer. It's deeper levels of self that we need to change, because that changes what is projected on the screen. And that's changing our perceptions of self. Because those changes of perceptions happen at deeper levels, not the screen level, that's at other levels, and then they're projected on the screen, and what we experience changes. Another thing, taking responsibility. We don't like to do that, but it's kind of funny. We look for someone else to blame for what's happening to our lives. Well, lots of people do anyway. Most people do. And what is that doing? When we think about it. You're responsible for what's happening to me, and then it's you, because that woman in 1962 I talked about, she's responsible. What's that doing? It's saying, I have no power. I have no power over my life. I have no power over my experience, because you have the power, because it's your fault. And you have the power. You have the power, because it's your fault I'm in this mess. I have no power. That's what blaming other people does. Blaming other situations. We can blame the control system. But we don't have to acquiesce to it. We don't have to be manipulated by it. We don't have to look the other way to accommodate dissonance and denial and ignore it while it manipulates us. We are responsible for the manipulation as much as the manipulation itself. And when we take that responsibility back, then we're saying, I have the power to control my reality. I have the power to control my life because I'm responsible for it. And because I'm responsible, I can change it. And I can change the life and experience that I have. Taking the facing their own responsibility, their own self. And if you don't face your own point of soul, how can you change your perception of it? How many times have Mike moved to me? I've asked this a few times, a few years ago, and that's the hell. When all hell was breaking loose in my life, fucking me, 5G! What the hell is that? Why is this happening to me? Why is that happening to you? That happening to you and not to me? Why is this happening to me and not to you? Why? Is it random? Is it like, you know, pick a card, any card? Is that what it is? So, again, if we're going to take responsibility, it's a very good question. Why me? Why are these things happening to me? Why are these things that I don't like happening to me? And not happening to them? Because we are a vibrational field, and our state of being and our state of awareness, our state of perception, word keeps coming back. These are words and concepts for what they really are, our vibrational states. And our perception of self and life and the world and everything goes out as a vibrational field. And it falls in reflections of itself. I call it vibrational magnetism. And so, when things are happening to us, to take responsibility and power back in our life, the question is, why do I call this pain in the ass into my life at this point? What is it that says about me? What am I talking to myself? Because life is about reading the signs of life. Life's talking to us all the time, saying, look at this, look at that, have a look at this, what about that? And some people call it the law of attraction. That's good enough phrase. Vibrational attraction. That's why my state of being will pull this in, and someone else's state of being will pull that in, and I won't, because I'm not making that vibrational connection to it. And what we pull in are people, places, ways of life, experiences. We're in this location, we're with that person, or we're not with that person, we're doing this job, we're in this situation, because of what we're pulling out. And we're drawing in energy fields, or staying in energy code into people, places, life, experiences. And we are connected in this way. And so, relationships and jobs, and not relationships, this job, that location, all that stuff, they're all reflections of what we're putting out. This is where the real power comes from. Because if we read the signs of life and we realize where we're putting them in, if we can identify that and we don't like, we can now identify what it is about us that's pulling that in, and then that goes. You know, when you have these so-called spiritual awakenings, I don't like that word, I think that's connotations, but when we go through these transformations, what happens? So often, less people come with us. Relationships end, jobs change, locations move. Why? Because the old you, reflected as an energy projection, has changed, and so it's not pulling in the same people, ways of life, experiences anymore, locations, so everything changes. That's the power we have. And there was this DVD called The Secret, which we talked about this. My feeling, I love the basis of it. It's fine, but my feeling is extremely simplistic because there are other forces at work here. We come to have certain experiences. This is what we've chosen to do, and what the eye, the consciousness has chosen to observe and experience through the vehicle. And, if you are not having a life experience in which you have a Ferrari, then you can paint your flipping home with Ferraris. And focus and meditate and visualize them, that Ferrari ain't coming your way. if it is, then Ferrari will come your way. And you might help me do that. I don't know by doing that, but it's not as simplistic as I just pointed out, I would say. There are other forces at work. We come into this reality at a certain point in the astronomical cycle, because as the planets move, it's just like in vector, like an atom, electrons go around the universe and all that stuff in very basic form. And therefore, what I'm saying is, as the planets move and everything, there is a change in the vibrational field. And so when we come in at certain points in the cycle, it's cycular in this virtual reality, it's part of it anyway, we come in at this point and we take on an energy field. At the point where some people say conception, but other people say birth. And that energy field will interact with reality in a different way, someone born in a different time of the cycle, will take on a different energy field because the planets are moving in a different place and the energy field is different at that point. And that's why you get so many people that end up doing similar things born at certain times of the year. And that's one thing. The other thing is we come in with an encoded journey. And if we go with our intuition, which carries the encoding, then we can follow that journey and things flow. The mind gets involved, saying, I don't care what the intuition is saying, this is how it is because of its perception and its programming, then it's fighting the journey. And that's one of the wars that go on with the mind following the programming and the intuition wanting to go on the journey, and the two are at war with each other. And so many people don't complete the journey that they've come to experience because the mind blocks it, and they allow the mind to block it. So there are many different things. So why me? Good question. Why us? Why you? Because it's your choice. And as the Oracle says to Leo in the Matrix, you've already made a choice, now you have to understand it. You didn't come here to make a choice, you've already made it. You're here to understand why you made it. In other words, we come to this world for certain reasons. And we come to this world for certain experiences, and we come to this world to make reality, to make certain contributions. And the point that makes those decisions is here, consciousness. Now this experiences them through the lens, and it is coming from a different state of perception, mind, and it can't go, no, I never agree to that. Well, the decision was made by a completely different level of consciousness, and the mind gets in the way of the decision which takes us through that journey. I'll get more to that in a second. The other thing is, good luck and bad luck. Oh, I'm ever so unlucky. Well, why are you lucky, and why is this person unlucky? Again, it's just a projection. You know, it's funnier. You know, when you watch football, you get some teams who are always scoring last-minute goals. And then you get other teams that you see over a season that concede so many last-minute goals, let them in. And they're almost there, and then, oh, God, we've lost another late goal. What a lucky season we're having. And someone else is just scoring the end and just winning when they look like they weren't going to. They're a really lucky team, they are. No, it's about perception. You know, there is such a thing as being frightened to win, to be frightened to cross the line. You know why? Because people think good things don't happen to them. That they're not going to achieve it. They're not going to make things happen. And so at the point where they're about to do it, somehow they make it not happen. And it's all happening on a subconscious level, and on the conscious mind saying, oh God, I'm so unlucky. No, you're frightened to succeed because you don't believe that you can. So you throw a spanner in the works all the time. How many people, you know, they have a relationship and they want a relationship, and they have a relationship with someone, it's a great relationship, and it's just what they want, it's everything they've ever desired, but because somehow they don't feel they deserve it, or these things don't happen to them, they throw a spanner in the works and batter it up. And they do it over and over again. And it's not bad luck. It's something that they're pulling out, and therefore if they can identify what it is, it goes. And that's the point. When you identify what it is that's drawing that in, you don't have to, you know, meditate for a study here or something like that. The identification, the acknowledgement of it, gone. Breaks the energy field, gone, no more. I've talked to people about that, you see it in my own life, where the same thing keeps happening. They're different people, slightly different situations, we keep facing the same thing, you say, oh, God, not again. Why is that? Is it not what's